Hot Trucks.
Best show ever already. It's 58 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of October in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listing day week. Oh, no, okay, I gotta stop. Get all to yourself, Emerson. Hello.
What is wrong with you?
It's gonna be one of those, oh, you know exactly what's wrong with me.
You got new hair?
Comes in a little tiny bottle, and it's colored blue, and it's fantastic.
Oh.
Anywho. What was I saying? Blah, 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 blah. 2006, yes. Live from the plushly appointed and highly medicated studios of AM 970 Southern State Radio, this, my friends, is the Rick Emerson, the radio program. Thank you for coming along and welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970 on this Monday. If you want to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. 503-733-2970, or email-wise, it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. All right. Everything's adjusted. Everything's properly. All right. What can people possibly be calling about at this point? All right, we'll find out. I got all these notes I made to myself, and here's the thing. Do you ever keep, like, a journal next to you? Everybody does this when you're, like, 15, 16. You go through this phase where you keep a journal by your bed because you're going to write down your dreams. And because you always think that there's going to be profound insights. You're always like, well, I had this dream that I was being attacked by David Coverdale, only he had the face of a crab. And so I have to figure out what this... And so what you keep a little, like, a spiral pad or something next to your bed and a pen. And you will write stuff down. And then the next morning, it's either illegible or you can read it, but it just doesn't make any sense. And it's just a whole lot of musings. I mean, I do that. Look, under the best of circumstances, I'm talking about when I'm fully rested and not medicated. I do that kind of thing. I'll write little notes to myself, my Franklin, and I look back, and it's, you know, what is this? Well, it's Flargle news. Well, what is that? Well, I don't know. Well, it seemed important at the time. I will say, debate raging inside my own head. Well, what about Flargle news? I don't know. And then you just decide to quit writing the notes altogether. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. That's where I am today, because I made all these notes to myself while I was stoned out of my brain this weekend on Valium and Vicodin. Let's talk about my good friends, Valium and Vicodin, shall we? Friends, Rick Emerson is here to tell you to do drugs. Always under a doctor's supervision and only when you have been given a prescription for said drugs. But yes, in that circumstance, I advise you to do them repeatedly and with gusto. Oh, man, I just feel like I'm wrapped inside a big, billowy, pink, puffy cloud today. It's going to be the best show ever. It's going to be the best day ever.
How many visos have you had?
Amity, as you know, means friendship. What?
How many visos have you had?
I haven't had any. I got one in the fridge.
Oh, does your Valium or Vicodin or whatever it is come in a little blue bottle?
It's all Vs. All the good things start with Vs. Valium, Vicodin, Viso. It's all good. No, I got a Viso Will chilling in the refrigerator right now. This right there, this is a steaming cup of hearty, fresh Colombian coffee, which I'm going to have right now. Hold on. Do I sound exceptionally happy today?
Fantastic. I think it's because somebody's vanity project's almost done.
Oh, man. No, well, see, no, because here's the thing is I'm wearing the hat. Now, you can't
see it. I don't want to see it.
You can't see what's under it because it's unpleasant. You know what my head is like right now? My head is like the Statue of Liberty in 1986 when it was still in the Remo Williams.
Okay, we have to sit in the room with you. I don't want to know what you're hiding under there.
It's just a head, but I mean, it's...
Is it all gross and
yes.
Scabby?
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes. As Professor Farnsworth would say. Oh, yes. All right.
Do you realize how vain it is to get cosmetic surgery?
I'm not the only one in this room who's talked about getting cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, but I didn't do it. It hadn't even occurred to me until I was talking to someone. They're like, so Rick's kind of vain then.
What planet do you live on, Rick?
I don't blame you. I would have done the same thing.
Rick Emerson is exceptionally vain. Rick Emerson is completely at peace with his fact.
I just can't wait to see you with hair.
Yeah. Well, I don't want you to, it's not going to be like a drastic change. That's the thing, I have to
so
sort
it's
of prepare.
Kind of filling in the spots,
well, that's
right?
What I mean, because I was not bald to begin with. No, I was thinning. don't laugh. You can't laugh when a guy says he wasn't, sons of bitches. No, it was thinning, don't get me wrong. I was headed down that road. I was, as they say in radio, I was trending toward baldness. I was not bald. So, but the difference is that this is not going to be like, they used to sell this stuff in the late 80s called Grecian formula. And Grecian formula was just stuff you had gray hair. It was basic, I guess it was just a dye. Wasn't it? Just a dye, but the deal was that, like, it worked gradually. Over the appeal of Grecian formula was if you had gray hair, it would take your gray hair back to whatever your alleged normal original color was over the course of 3 or 4 days. And this was pitched with this sort of theory that no one would notice. That if your hair went from gray to brown in like 4 days as opposed to one, somehow no one would ever notice that this happened. And it was a lot of like, well, Bob looks so much younger, but I can't quite put my finger on what's different about him. And it was like on Friday, Bob had gray hair, and on Tuesday, Bob's hair was jet black. Well, that's stupid. But this is sort of along the same lines in that it's going to gradually grow in and fill in the blah, 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 blah. We'll talk more about it later. The point is I'm wearing a hat, and the hat's going to stay on. The hat is going to stay on.
What hat is that?
This is a hat from the Low. Our good friend the Low sent me this hat. This is one of many, many hats I've received.
It actually fits you pretty well.
This actually is way better than the other one. I have a variety hat. The Wright County Crook sent me a trucker hat, which I can't wear, A, because it's a trucker hat.
And you have a little pea head. You have a small head.
You shut your mouth.
That one looks really good. I'm a fan of that hat.
Well, look, I mean, if one needs fashion advice, one could do worse than to ask a black man to help one out. You know what I'm talking about. So the Low sent me this hat. So this works better than what I was wearing. I couldn't wear the trucker hat because the trucker hat's got the whole back. You know, it's got it's see-through in the back. And you don't want to see the back of my head anymore than you want to see the front of my head. Who are we fooling? And then I had like the generic rocker, like AC/DC cap or whatever, which, fine, but it's a little snug at this point. This one works fine, though. This is a fantastic hat. A chapeau, one might even say. Boy, I'm just all over the map today. It's 503-733-2970. The point is, I made all these notes while I was on Valium this weekend. About half of them make no sense at all. But that's fine. That's where the humor comes from. The extra ingredient is love and Valium. Anywho, we'll get to those and many other things. We'll welcome Mailman Chris here in just a moment. In fact, let me do this now. Let me make sure that I got my sounder up here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome down to the
Postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Rick Emerson radio program. Official stenographer Mailman Chris. Hello, sir, and how are you?
I am good, and yourself?
Oh, you know, I'm just floating along in a little conveyor belt of pharmaceutical love.
Yeah, the little blue pill that starts with a V, that wouldn't be Viagra, would it?
No, it's, but here's the thing I was thinking about. I was thinking about this, because the thing about I keep wanting to say Valerian root, but the Valium. I'll tell the whole story here in just a short while. We'll see what's coming up in the news department. We'll do the whole introduction and all that. And I'll talk about the procedure, the whole medical hair restoration thing this weekend. I will say this, though. The one really great moment of the whole thing is after the procedure is done, the doctor gives you a bunch of little bottles. And he's like, this is like a whatever. This is like keeps swelling down. And this is like a whatever you call it, like an antibiotic or whatever. And then he gives me two. And he's like, now, look, this is Vicodin. This is Valium. He says, now you'll want to take these together. And I tried to correct him as though I know what I'm talking about. I'm like, no, doctor, you mean don't take these together. And he says, no, you'll absolutely want to take these Vicodin with these Valium. And I just said, well, you're the doctor, you know. And I just grabbed them and ran out of the office where they could stop me. So,
do you have any mini bottles of whiskey to take with them?
Oh, too? Dude, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine how I would have been able to swallow. You know what I mean? If I'd had to take any liquid, I had to have them write the instructions. Because there's, you know, instructions about you got to, like, shampoo in a special time of the day and put some crap on your head and whatever. And I had them write the instructions in, like, 15-point type. You know, like, one instruction per page because I couldn't really read or focus well enough to separate the sentences on the page. It was fantastic. It still is, as a matter of fact. So we'll talk more about it. All right. Let me ask you that. I heard that young Mr. Savage acquitted himself admirably on Friday. I have not heard Friday's program.
We kind of egged him on to be his best.
That's you. You all do bring out the best in people. It's true. I left Thursday afternoon, and I didn't get back till late last night, so I have not heard Friday's show, but I read the email, heard from Tim and Sarah. Everything seemed to go pretty swimmingly for him. I know he was a little...
It was like you never left.
I heard he was a little jacked up and adrenalized, but you know what?
That guy's a little crazy.
He is. That guy...
Well, he's a youngster.
He makes me look mellow. I mean, that Tim Savage is coiled spring, is what that guy is.
He did a really good job.
And
fun to work with.
Scotty J assembled some fantastic best ofs and blah 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 blah. So that all went fairly well.
That all, you know, surprisingly and very strangely seemed to feature Scotty J himself.
Did they? Is that true? Was it a lot of?
They'll seem to be a little Scotty J heavy.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, Chris. Here's what we're going to endeavor to get to today. Sadly, the Mexican Elvis is gone. We'll talk about that. Today is the most useless of holidays. We'll tell you what that is. North Korea, not only crazy, now they're scary, too. We have tickets to Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth, blah, blah, blah. Polar bears are going to drown. We're all going to die. Lecture. We've got some tickets to that to give away this week. And we'll be talking to Clyde Lewis from the Ground Zero Lounge. And we'll do a little bit of a little recap of Storm's show on Friday, which I was not able to attend. That. And do we have we watches today, Jim Riley?
We do. We have a corpse watch, a snuff watch, Democracy on the March, and another snuff watch.
Fantastic. So two snuff watches, Democracy on the March, and corpse watch, sir. There you go.
All right. So we've got the Mexican Elvis is dead.
Dead.
The most useless holiday ever. North Korea is now scary. Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth. Clyde Lewis will be in. And a double snuff watch, a corpse watch, and Democracy on the March.
Yes, sir.
And we will be talking about Storm
Barge. Yeah, yes. We will talk about, I mean, you all, somebody will be done, not me. Did you go?
I most certainly did.
Was it fantastic?
It was the best show I've seen all year.
I had some emails, whenever it was, Sunday, Monday, something like that. It all drifts together. A bunch of people who were there, I got a bunch of photos sent to me. A lot of people were taking snapshots. So, I mean, it was, you know, it seemed to be a good time all the way around. And
speaking of which, Sarah, how are you feeling today? You had 2 days to recover.
Oh, my God. I went to a pre-party with Brad and Evie, and Brad's like, drinks at the Wonder Ballroom are expensive, so let's pound these here. So I'm drinking vodka Red Bulls. I don't drink those. So drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was last night. It's been a long weekend for you.
It was a long weekend, and a long week before with the birthday weekend, so I'm happy that I'm going to sit at home tonight.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
Stay at home, watch Heroes tonight.
Yes.
Oh, I got to catch up on that show.
And Studio 60.
Every week. We may or may not be talking to Peter Carlin today. We got to track him down. We'll check in with you at the end of the program, see what we've gotten to, sir.
Will do.
Thank you. There you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, Sarah Dillon is here. Tim Riley as well, working on the following stories for your edification at the Ministry of Truth.
Breaking news, Madonna's people have just taken her new adopted African street urchin from his native land, put him on the plane, in preparation for a wonderful life.
Fantastic.
Hawaiians have never seen so many boxes of cereal on the floor following their earthquake. Scientists warn the Big Island will be gone in 80 million years, so enjoy it while you can. And single couples now outnumber married ones in these disunited states.
Bam! All right. Yeah, man, you sit and get high in your hotel room and you miss a whole bunch of stuff, like all the power's out in Hawaii. And that, like half the island, right? Nobody can get anything good. That's got to be bad news down there. Just think of all the tourist dollars and the whatever. All right. So I miss the... all right. Must focus. Must focus. Must keep act together. Coming up this hour, by the way, at 11:45, we'll talk to Lisa Goddard about North Korea. Boy, I would have been really... Did anybody watch the North Korean thing at the United Nations?
No, I was watching the big Samoan guy on Hawaiian cable TV.
Was he just a guy pointing at the sky and talking about...
He was talking about how the ceiling of killer tacos caved in.
Fantastic. It was all bad news all weekend, but the good news, I didn't care about any of it. I sat there... Well, I might as well just dive right into this. And Sarah, I will implore ye and Tim and Scotty J to sort of take me by the hand and guide me through today's program a little bit. If at any point I just seem to be wandering off like more than normal, you might want to just sort of gently put me back towards on the path to cogency, if that's a word like that.
Then maybe you should put down the coffee.
Just going to set the coffee. Let me just finish this cup. Hold on.
It says a thousand stuff.
I know.
When I take it on the show, I just nod out and read the newspaper.
The Valium?
He was really weird, though. I talked to you at some point this weekend when you were something. You, yeah.
When? You didn't talk to me.
You were speaking super slow motion. It was really creepy.
Apparently, I left some long message for Joni over the weekend, too, and I don't remember anything about it. And apparently, I was just going on and on about Pink Floyd. I swear to God, I don't remember it at all. She called me. She's like, you left me the best message. Do you remember leaving me this voicemail? I'm like, no. She's like, you were just going on and on about the wall. And I will say this. You don't, I know that this is something that you all figured out in college. Everybody else figures this out when you're like 19 years age. I got to tell you, man, if you are under the influence of any kind of chemical, really, the Wall is the greatest album you have ever heard in your life. I mean, you don't even know. You can't even appreciate the hundreds of levels of genius that are involved in that rock and roll masterwork until you're just sitting there. And the great thing about listening to the Wall, here's what happened. I go in, and I will describe the whole process, because I actually have had a lot of people, not just guys, but people who want to know what the process is. And I'm not going to go into, like, off-putting medical details and so forth. I'll just give you the overview. But I will sort of, for now, jump straight ahead. I was in Seattle over the weekend for medical hair restoration, getting the thing done. And the deal is that they load you up on Valium, and then they give you a bunch of, like, topical or local anesthetic, where they sort of numb your scalp, and then they do the whole thing. And then they give you a bunch of Valium and Vicodin after the fact. First of all, let me say this about Vicodin. Vicodin is one of those things that everybody gets addicted to because apparently everybody calls it like the best drug ever. I got to say, for me, the Vicodin was not nearly as impressive. I mean, I was really anticipating that the Vicodin was going to be the best thing ever because you get all those, you know, the Brett Favre's of the world and all the athletes. I know our friend Ian Gordon had taken it in the past, and he was just talking about how Vicodin was just the most fantastic drug on earth. And I got to say, for me, it was more about the Valium. The Vicodin, and maybe that's because I actually had pain to relieve. Maybe the Vicodin only has the desired pleasant effect when you're taking it for purely recreational purposes, which I was not. But so I go back and I sit in my hotel room, and I've got the Valium going on, and it was, I've got my my MP3 player with me, and so I've got Pink Floyd The Wall going, and it's just concentric layers of greatness because I'm sitting there on the bed. This is the only real clear memory that I have, is sitting there on the bed, staring straight ahead at the television, which is turned off, by the way. There's nothing on the TV, and I'm totally sitting there, and it's like literally you expect me just to be the guy sitting in the chair with his cigarette burning down to my fingers and like the maid vacuuming in the hallway. I was like full-on Bob Geldof mode, just sitting there, and it's that song. What is that Pink Floyd song playing, the one about the... you know, I've got the obligatory Hendrix perm and it's the song where in the movie he's just sitting in the chair staring blankly at a wall. And so, of course, because I was stoned, then you start to think about how weird that is. You start to think about how you're sitting on your bed staring blankly straight ahead at a wall, not moving, while high, while listening to music about a guy sitting in a hotel room staring blankly ahead. High. And then you start to feel like you're in some kind of Escher painting. And then it just, you know, then it all stacks up. Is this interesting to anybody?
No. I'm trying to pretend that I am. But I can only stare in your direction for so long.
This should have really happened to you when you were like 17.
I get, maybe that's the thing.
We're really, really trying hard to be understanding.
I'm sorry. I feel like
there's a bit too much to ask.
I feel like, you know what it is?
More minutes before the commercial.
I feel like one of those immigrants who's just moved here and discovers the joys of like the supermarket, and everybody else has known about it for 20 years.
Is going to be about drugs?
Yes. No, it's not all going to be about
okay.
drugs. A lot of it will be about drugs.
At least when I take it, I sit here quietly.
Oh,
you're supposed to sedate you. What's going on?
Oh, man, I sat quietly. You should have... I sat quietly, believe
Best
me.
Best weekend of Lara's life.
There was a whole lot of sitting quietly. Because it's a 12-hour procedure. The medical hair press. I mean, I walked into that office at 7 a.m. Friday morning. That's why I left Thursday night. I walked into the office at 7 a.m. You fill out a little bit of paperwork. They come in, you take your whatever, your antibiotic and all that crap. I sat down in the chair. And it's kind of like a regular, like a dental chair or whatever. I sat in that chair at 9 and I was done at a little before 7 p.m. So that's, and I broke for lunch. So that's like an 8.5 hour procedure. And the great thing about the Valium is, the Valium is not a painkiller. It's just, you know, it's just a relaxant. They give you an actual anesthetic. I realize, though, what the Valium is for. The Valium is there for two reasons. It's A, so that you don't mind the sensation of a guy with a scalpel actually cutting into the back of your head.
Because
otherwise you'd be freaked out, right? Because they give you the local anesthetic that numbs your scalp, and then they do the whole thing. And if you didn't have the Valium, all you would do is sit there and obsess about, oh, my God, there's just a thin chemical line between me and agonizing pain. If this wears off at any moment, it's going to feel terrible. Oh, my God! And you'd start to feel like the autopsy guy in that Tales from the Crypt episode. With the Valium, though, you don't care. What the Valium allows you to do is to trust the anesthetic. With the Valium, you're like, nah, they know what they're doing. I'm just going to look at this dot on the ceiling, you know, and that's it. And the other thing with Valium is you have no sense of time, of course. And so, you know, maybe you're looking ahead for 5 minutes. Maybe it's 4 hours. Don't know. Don't care. Doesn't matter. They offer you a whole list of movies to watch. I can't fathom how anybody would follow any of them. You know? Would you like to watch Casino? I don't know. Whatever. I mean, you make it in the opening credits and you'd be host. So I was not well enough to drive home, clearly. So I did drive home yesterday. I came home, and then there were the Barfly Magazine Awards last night. And I felt really bad I wasn't able to go because I guess Jen told me that you were nominated for something, Sarah Dillon, and then I was nominated for like best something, most likely to drive his car into a ditch on I-5. And they were from like 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
And it was
no
awful because, I was so tired. I was on the coast on Saturday night. And then she didn't get to the awards till like 12:30, almost like 12:45. It was a really late night. And we didn't win, so there you go.
That's the thing. And I was just, and I knew the voting was happening at the event, so I text messaged Jen. I'm like, I am burnt from Valium and driving. I will not be leaving the house. Thank you and good night. And so that was it. So I did a whole lot of nothing. So, anywho. All right, well, I'll tell you what. Let's break here, try to get my faculties under control. We'll come back. I will, just for those who may be a little curious, I'll just kind of recap, just kind of what they do real quickly, and we've got some other stuff on the way. We're going to be giving away tickets to Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth presentation later on this hour. Lisa Goddard will be joining us, Peter Carlin. We got Tim Riley coming up at the top of the hour with the AM 970 Noon News Hour, and so forth. 503-733-2970. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Emerson radio program. It's Monday. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up at 11:45, we'll talk to Lisa Goddard about North Korea. I made copious notes. These I actually typed in, though, using my Motorola Q, so they are actually legible. Man, I was watching this North Korea. I'm going to dwell on it right here, because we'll talk to her about it in just a few, but God damn, the North Koreans have gone from just being a little unnerving to being flat-out scary. There was this fantastic, and by fantastic, I mean eerie moment that happened. I guess this would have been on, God, like Friday, something like that. I was watching CNN, and it's, you know, because the North Koreans, apparently the word on the street among the kids is that they are detecting radiation, which means that they did set off some kind of nuclear weapon. So we got that working for us. And so this guy, Pak Gil-yeon is his name, is the ambassador to the United Nations. So he's there, and he's speaking at the United Nations, and he's talking about how he's not going to tolerate the United States' gangster-like activities and so forth. And then there's this fantastic moment when they toss it over to John Bolton. And John Bolton is that kind of, I don't know, he's kind of a Tom Skerritt-looking bastard. And he's, you know, the United States ambassador. And so John Bolton gets ready to do the big rebuttal, and then they look over, and the North Korean guy has just gotten up and walked out. And so America is then left lecturing to an empty chair, and it was just like all shades of Khrushchev and so forth. So we'll talk about that with Lisa Goddard. Later on, Jim Roop is going to join us. And I think there's at 12:30, we'll talk to Clyde Lewis. Actually, kind of a cool thing happening tonight at the Ground Zero Lounge at Dante's. So we will do that here in just a moment. In the meantime,
Jay, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J, hello. It's an interesting look for you. Are you growing a beard?
No.
You have a rough weekend?
No.
A little hungover?
No, I had a good weekend.
Okay, when is the last time you shaved?
Yeah.
The sad thing about this weekend, it's a good thing and a bad thing.
You know, the region of vice president's in town today.
Well, you know.
Yeah, he's going to come through. He has the power to fire us all.
I picked the wrong day to look like George Michael.
Seriously. No, seriously, what's that all about? You look terrible, man.
Thank you.
You don't look good at all. I thought
I'm
looked
ready
bad.
For a mugshot anytime now.
No, you got like the
he's
stubble.
He's still not explaining it.
You got like the bad stubble and then you got like the big Samsonite under your eyes?
No, but it looks like it's trimmed to be like a beard.
I know, it's not though. It is growing there. Maybe it's blonder on this side or whatever.
It does sort of look like carefully arranged stubble. When is the last time you shaved?
Probably about 3 days, Friday.
And that's because why?
Busy. I'm a busy guy.
Busy with being homeless?
No.
What have you been busy with?
Was the pillow all up?
The one thing about this weekend is...
there's a lot of... See, you know what you're doing right now? You're doing what salespeople call defocusing.
Right.
Where we're just asking a simple question. Look, if you forgot to shave,
I didn't forget. I just... I had a time crunch this particular morning. I was planning on it, but there was a time crunch, so I just kind of got in and out, you know.
Okay.
After I dealt with the Orkin man and XM radio and... transferring all these files off of one old computer.
None of this conversation makes any sense. I don't understand what the Orkin man and XM radio have to do with the fact
that... Used up all my time, so I didn't have time to shave.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you. All right. So here's the thing. So as of the end of Friday's program, because I was not here, we had to give away... Are we caught up with our Star Wars, the OMSI giveaway?
I think we are.
Yeah, so we're caught up with that. But we have to do Al Gore tickets at some point, right? Is that the thing? We have to do those? Okay. So here, do we have... the pop culture questions.
You do.
I'm not entirely sure that that's the case. So I will kind of rifle through my possessions. We'll need to see if we can rustle some of those up because that's how we're going to do it. So you will need to ascertain whether we have the appropriate pop culture questions to give away the Al Gore stuff because he's doing the global warming thing. So we got to give away tickets for that. All right.
It wouldn't be in your office. It'd be in this pile, right?
It would be in this pile. But you know what? But Tim and I were talking about this morning. There's a whole section of stuff that just seems to have vanished. It just seems to have gone away, and I don't know where it went. It was a whole pile of stuff. We had a huge stack of news, like 3 inches deep, and it just seems to have vanished into the void, into the darkness at some point over the weekend. So if you're able to, if sometime like between now and like an hour from now, if you can either locate or rustle up new copies of some of the pop culture trivia stuff, and we'll use that to give away the Al Gore stuff.
Okay.
What have you got there?
Oh, I was just watching TV last night, and these guys were talking about how they don't necessarily have to have surgery nowadays.
For,
you know.
Oh, I see. Is somebody else thinking about his own receding hairline?
Oh, no.
Scotty J doesn't have a receding hairline.
No, he doesn't.
I was flipping through the channels, and they're like, you know what? You can take a risk and, you know, do the surgery, blah, blah, blah. But here's one last final stop before surgery.
Or you can use the miracle of glue.
That would have been more effective on Thursday.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
No, we want to tell them after the surgery.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, you didn't have to
that.
Do that.
Thank
actually.
You. Thanks.
I thought it was interesting.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You caught me by surprise with the summons, by the way.
You'll be happy to know. Do you know what the radio station was playing during the entire procedure? It was in Seattle.
That doesn't exist anymore.
No, it's in Seattle. It was the exciting upbeat sounds of Movin', 93.5.
Oh,
really? And look, here's the thing, and I swear to God, it wasn't bad.
Similar?
Now, I don't think that was the
drug.
That's
what everyone said about Jack. Too.
I don't know. Again, I don't think it was the drugs talking. I don't think it was the fact that I was gacked to my eyeballs. It was actually not bad. I was sitting there. I was sitting there in the operation room, having the medical hair restoration thing done. And it really was like one good pick me up, feel good hit after another. I actually felt pretty fantastic about the whole thing. So, you know,
that is awesome.
Have you heard the station down here?
No, because I'm... Nah,
okay,
because
I was going to say, is it the same thing?
No, I heard like a lot of Aretha Franklin when I heard it.
No, when I was listening, it was rap heavy when I was listening to it. It was
Are you sure you were listening to Movin'?
Well, Movin' Seattle, though, is probably different than Movin' here.
Okay.
Because the...
this is all about the women in the middle age.
The demographic makeup of Portland. Portland is very green, yet very white. And so the demographic makeup of the two cities is not exactly the same.
I'm reading through these questions from Scotty J for the Scalp Med. I am completely bald. Will your products help me?
I am hideous and repellent to women. What products do you have?
Believe it or not, 1 year later, I had a full head of hair. No surgery.
I've ingested the product or I drank it.
What is this for?
It's like the last stop before surgery. Right?
Why are you flipping? Is this just some crap you printed out of
no,
the
No, no,
off
no.
The,
I was flipping
internet?
Through the channels last night, and I really had no interest for myself, but I'm looking out for other people, right?
Thank you.
And
who are these other people you're looking out for? But let's draw a distinction here. So I was in Seattle over the weekend, and I had the medical hair restoration done. And but this is just like some crap that you saw on like an infomercial late at night.
It was like 11:30.
Can we talk about one of life's immutable rules? Nothing that you buy in an infomercial late at night works. The sole exception to that, of course, being the George Foreman grill. Nothing that you buy in an infomercial is ever effective. Nothing that you buy late at night advertised with a 1-800 number, advertised by a former cast member from Dynasty, is ever effective. Ever. Ever.
You know, that's probably true. However, if you use this product and you empty the bottle...
That
right?
is, if you don't accidentally ingest it. Although
yes,
I'm glad
yes.
to know that there is a question.
If you totally empty the bottle.
I have inadvertently consumed this 14-ounce bottle of noxious liquid. Exactly how can you assist me?
I mean, it's unlike other products where they say you can use it for so many days and return the unused whatever. If you use the whole bottle here and return it and say this stuff is horrible, they give you your money back.
All right.
So take
this away from me. All right, there you go.
All right.
Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. If the regional vice president comes through, I'll try to distract him from your unshaven face today.
He doesn't look that bad.
Okay.
Well, you kind of make it work. You can sort of make it work a little bit
wearing the 80s jeans.
Seriously, yeah, well, but that's what I mean. You know how your unshaven appearance would be perfect if you had, I would suggest getting some loafers and then no socks. And then you can just
claim
it's
a sock. I actually have some of those.
Well, you know what?
Left over from the 80s.
That move-in station that they just launched over at the First Avenue buildings, it's very 80s heavy. You could actually there you go. You could say that it's like a theme outfit. That you are actually dressed to work at move-in.
Right. Okay.
There you go. Thank you. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. I'll talk, let me just a couple things. I'll just kind of briefly recap the whole medical hair restoration thing real quickly. And then we'll talk about Storm for a few minutes. And then we'll talk to Lisa Goddard. And then we got the AM 970 noon news hour coming up. So some people have asked me kind of what this is. And it's not, again, I'm not the, you know, this is the thing that people, it is the place I spend my whole weekend, and people are sort of curious about it. But I went there. I will say this, first of all, and I know that this is probably by design, since by definition, if you know, place medical hair restoration is, of course, just by definition, it's like for 90% of the clientele is going to be guys. And I know there are women who get, you know, like a, you know, thinning hair or whatever, but it's mostly male clientele. They had the hottest secretary. I mean, really, seriously, and I know you're rolling your eyes at this, but I mean, it has to be said. Really, just like distractingly so.
Did
like,
Lara go with you to Seattle?
No, hell no. What are you talking about? No.
Okay, wild man in the city.
No, she was here. No, she was here. She was here working and being productive. No, she didn't. It was like 3 days, you know, and I would have been so out of it. I would have been like the world's worst travel companion. Anyway, there would have been no. I mean, you've already heard how exciting my Saturday night was. I just went and sat on my bed and just let the world in my head entertain me. But anyway, so, and you know, the really great thing is, though, you walk in and it is a thing that I guess it is logical, but you walk in, A, blindingly hot secretary, and B, and then everyone who works there, perfect hair. Everyone who works there, it's like, because you don't want to, because let me just talk about, there's a procedure that one can get to correct one's eyesight, that laser procedure you can get. And let me just tell you this. I've had some people in the past try to get me to get the laser eye surgery, so, you know, the 20/20 vision or whatever. The last time that somebody tried to get me to get the laser eye surgery, I went in, and I swear to God, this sounds like a bad joke. The doctor was wearing glasses. The doctor is wearing glasses. Don't let any guy who is wearing spectacles tell you about the joys of using a laser to cut bits of your eye away. So I go to the office. Everybody's got the perfect hair. They sit me down, they give me the Valium, and then they do two things. They give you, the first half of it is face down, where you're laying face down at like one of those chiropractors, you know, beds where it's like got the hole cut out for your head. So I'm laying face down, I put in my headphones, and as I already noted, I brought like my MP3 player with me, and I turn on the Pink Floyd. And it's one of those things that as the Valium begins to take effect, it really just sounded, it was like every bad cliche come to life because it was Shine On You Crazy Diamond with that like 14 minute, you know, that intro. And it, at a certain point, I was afraid that I was, the whole thing struck me as so retarded that I was afraid I was going to get a case of the giggles that wouldn't go away. Because you realize that you are a 33-year-old man laying in a doctor's office, stoned, listening to Pink Floyd, and just grooving, and you hear your, you realize that
don't
you're...
Don't say grooving.
No, but I mean, but in your head, like you're saying, it's like, whoa, this is the best thing I've ever heard. And then, but then you realize just how goddamn stupid it is. And then, of course, then you realize that you can't giggle because there's a guy with a scalpel about an inch away from you, behind you. So then, you start to put the whole thing out of your head. Anyway, so then, yeah, I spent the next 9 hours, like right up there in the, in the chair, and then I leave, and he gives me the, this is the one thing that I did not do, that I sort of regret. I was gonna get a photo of myself with the camera, sent it to you, of me wearing like the full on, like gangster, like do-rag. Cause that's what they send you home with. They don't give you a hat or anything. Because the first day, when you leave,
you're walking down the streets of Seattle with a do-rag on?
Full on, like,
that's awesome.
Full on, like black, like Carlito's Way, like full on Carlito's Way, black leather jacket, black do-rag, like all knotted around the back of my head, just weaving, you know, back and forth because I'm still all high. And I was going to take a photo of it and send it to you, but I just, by the time it occurred to me to take a photo, I had already taken my shirt off in the hotel room, and because I was like getting undressed,
then
right?
You would have freaked me out sending me a shirtless picture of you.
I know, it's fantastic. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You see, I kind of regret it, but at the same time, I don't, because I've seen that picture of Scotty J in the Speedo and the taco hat or whatever that thing is that he's wearing, and so I was you know, getting undressed, you know, for the night, and you got to do this whole thing the first night where you kind of sleep in sort of a propped up position, or whatever, because they don't want you to like bang your head on the headboard or whatever. So I'm kind of getting undressed for bed, and you got to take, you know, you have to wear a button down. So I'm taking the button down off, and I happen to kind of catch sight of myself in the hotel room mirror, and I look, and it's like I'm totally shirtless, wearing a do-rag, and my forehead is all swollen, and I'm like, this is the worst I'm ever going to look in my life. I have never looked worse than this. This is the absolute rock bottom nadir of my appearance. And I did reach for the camera, actually, to take a photograph. But then I wondered what would go through your head if it's, you know, you have a text message. You know, you have a new, you look down and here's a picture of me stripped to the waist wearing a do-rag with a swollen forehead. It's like, what possible explanation could I have given you that would not have made that a horrifying photo to receive? Let's see. And I apologize for the, I apologize for the rather rambling nature of this first hour. We'll try to get a hold of ourselves as the day goes on, although I can't guarantee that that's going to happen. You have to take antibiotics and stuff the next day, and they're like, you must take these with food. So there's like a Fred Meyer or whatever near my hotel. So I walk to the, because I can't drive a car, clearly. So operating a 2,000-pound box of steel and glass is a poor idea. So I'm walking to the Fred Meyer. And then I realize that I'm walking through the Fred Meyer with like my button-down shirt open almost to my navel and the do-rag on and a leather jacket, and I'm weaving from one side to the other. And of course, did you do this? Like, if I'm not suggesting that you abuse your body with drugs or alcohol, but if some of you remember a time when you may have done those things, you overcompensate by trying really hard to seem sober, right? And it's like steering a barge. You overcompensate for anything that you think, anything that you don't want people to notice or that you want to distract from. So if you think that you are driving too quickly, then, you know, that's, you hear about these people get pulled over for driving 20 miles an hour. And if you think that you're drunk, you start to drunk people start to talk like this sometimes, and they really over enunciate because they don't want to seem drunk. So here's me. I'm in the supermarket. My shirt is unbuttoned halfway down, showing my chest hair, do-rag, swollen forehead, leather jacket, clutching like a Tostitos pizza and like a big bag of chips, totally walking down the aisle, and I realize that I must just look stoned and drunk and scary and like a criminal and just retarded. And so what do I start doing? Because I don't want to be off-putting, so I start being really nice to everybody. People who are passing me in the aisle. So here's me. What? Here's poor Lisa Goddard. We'll get to her in a second. Here's no. Here's me. So imagine this is you, Sarah. You're in Seattle.
It's happened to me before.
You're walking through the frozen foods aisle at a Seattle supermarket. Here comes
a crazy shirtless man with a do-rag.
Here comes a guy with a leather jacket, a shirt totally open, full-on chest hair exposed, knotted do-rag that's all slanty, swollen forehead, crazy eyes, weaving wildly and clutching like a bunch of snack foods to my bosom with both arms. And what am I doing? Hi there, how are you? And then giving everybody like a big cheese-eating smile. Hi, good to see you.
You're so creepy.
Having a great night? Me too. I love this food. I mean, I feel like I should issue a blanket apology to the whole city of Seattle.
Oh, I can't believe nobody got any pictures.
Oh,
I'm really
God.
Disappointed.
I wanted to take a picture of myself in the do-rag, but even it, I just, And I made this note to myself. Here's a little note. You can see I scrawled all of this in my Franklin Covey planner here. I scrawled this to myself. In a hotel room, eating cheese pizza, lots of Valium, watching TV, Showtime, not going to move. Goddamn America rules. Three exclamation marks.
See, and this is why we should stop talking about Valium, because see how interesting that sentence is?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny, though. Oh, man. You got the Fred Meyer on Capitol Hill, like that area?
No, because it was not Seattle proper. It was just outside of Seattle. So, it was...
Well, I was picturing one of those, because you see crazy people in Fred Meyer all the time. I thought you were on... like in Seattle, but you're actually in the burbs.
No, that's the thing. It wasn't even like crazy town. Like it wasn't even like Tacoma where that sort of thing might be acceptable.
Yeah.
Like in Tacoma, crazy people dressed all weird constantly. No. This is like in a suburb. This is like in a Scotty J neighborhood. and again, we'll pick up Lisa here in like 5 seconds. But again, the worst part is me just trying to be overly friendly to compensate. People who aren't even making eye contact with me. Me, hi there, how are you? It's great night.
Don't touch my pizza.
I love these chips. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
I love chips.
me too, sister. Oh, man. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic.
I don't think it was as fantastic as my weekend.
Ooh, all right, let's put it out there then. What you got?
I got lots of Valium. That's what I got.
It works.
No, it really does. It works. You know, because the thing about Valium is, I talked about this. I used to take Ativan some years ago, not for a very long period of time. A few years ago, I took Ativan, and the thing about a drug like that is, it's not that it eliminates any of the problems, like fear of flying or your foot's on fire or whatever. Doesn't matter. It's just that you're fully aware of it. You just don't care. Just don't care. You know what I mean? What's that? Oh, my foot's being attacked by fire ants. Well, that's something, isn't it? What's on TV? And then you just move right on. Doesn't even matter to you. Oh, good God. All right. I made copious notes to myself about North Korea, but it's while I was stoned in a hotel room, so I'm...
Wow, that's fantastic. You should publish that stuff.
it's more, sort of my attempt to be Hunter Thompson.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's great.
I was in my hotel room in Seattle when the mescaline kicked in.
Do you look like Johnny Depp?
Yes. No, I'm more of like the really swollen Benicio del Toro.
I like Benicio del Toro. That is a hot Hispanic man.
As your attorney, I advise you to stay in a hotel room and take lots of Vicodin. So where are my North Korean notes? They are right here, and I'm sitting there, and I would have been more terrified by this had I not been so heavily sedated. Let's see, when did I make these notes? Saturday, 11:27 a.m.
Is that how you start your notes?
I am very anal retentive by this. I took all my notes on my Motorola Q, which is like a handheld. Let's see.
Kind of West Wing-ish, I guess.
And it is very Hunter S. Thompson-ish because all my notes are just they're all elliptical. It's just like sentence fragments separated by dots. Pat Gillian, .. Ambassador to UN, .. Crazy man, .. Also scary, .. U.S. pressures will be act of war. U.S. gangster-like activities, .. Well, let's talk about this. So, am I pronouncing that right? Pat Gillian, he's the ambassador to the UN for North Korea. He said, and I think I had this right, that about this North Korea business of having a nuclear weapon, that any U.S. pressures, whether military, economic, whatever, will be construed as an act of war. Is it possible that he actually said that?
Yeah, that's right. And he's also said that repeatedly that sanctions will not work.
I mean, well, I mean,
they're being, basically, they're putting out all the, they're taking out, if there were any rhetorical corks in their mouths, they are taking them out, and they are fighting the diplomatic battle as strongly as they can with their words. But, you know, just in the last hour, Condoleezza Rice had a news conference saying essentially that she does think sanctions will work. She says people need to give them time. And she said every country needs to enforce these sanctions. We expect everyone to enforce them. But, you know, that's the big question here. Is China going to really enforce these sanctions, or did they just vote along with it? Are they really going to mean anything? And even if they did mean anything, is that enough to convince North Korea to back down?
And the really the creepy part of this whole thing that happened, and I'm unclear about whether what I was watching was live or not, but the representative of South Korea then spoke, and then John Bolton got ready to speak, but they did the creepiest thing where as Bolton is speaking, they pan across to where the representative of North Korea had been, and it's just an empty chair. Like, it was just, he just sort of did it like deaf comedy jam style. It's like he just said his piece and like threw down the microphone that was, you know, and I'm out, and he left. Wasn't even there to hear the response, which is like shades of Khrushchev.
Right. No, that's right. That's how they roll. And they're not the only ones. The whole walking out of the UN, whatever meeting it may be, in this case Security Council, is a long running tradition for whoever's mad at whomever. Leaving the empty seat, you know, and I guess maybe the TV networks asked for that. They're like, hey, we need a visual. Can you guys leave?
Right.
But no, that it's what they do. It is very poetry slam.
And so when the North Koreans say that, you know, that any of these sanctions, anything's going to be an act of war, I mean, how real is that? In other words, how much of that is just them bluffing, and how much of that is them saying, because there are some reports today that the levels of radiation in the atmosphere, however they measure this, indicate that they do have a nuclear weapon. How much of that is that is just bluster, and how much of that is, if you screw us, we're going to screw you right back?
Right. Well, the director of national intelligence, John Negroponte, says they have picked up radioactivity, indicating there was a nuclear device that was tested, but we still don't think they have the technology to put that onto a missile. So that's good news for now. But, you know, it's hard to say how much is bluster from what North Korea says. They have about 1 million men on the South Korean-North Korean border. They have a huge army. But it's very difficult to imagine that they have any other way to attack the rest of the world except through missile power, and we know that they don't, or we understand they don't have nuclear missiles yet. So, unless we really launched an invasion of North Korea, which clearly is what North Korea is hoping to avoid, that's what they've told all their citizens is the point here, which the Bush administration says is not. Now I'm getting all twisted in all this, but anyways, basically, unless we invade North Korea, I don't think we can seriously take their threat of warfare, to be anything we should worry about yet.
And this may be too broad of an overarching question, but what is it that North Korea, in a generalized sense, wants? Do they just want to be left alone? Do they just want the right to have a nuclear weapon? Or is this some sort of some sort of nuclear shakedown where they're just trying to rattle money out of us somehow?
No, that's a good question. I think that, you know, that is a huge argument in the diplomatic community. Some say this is a ruler who is power hungry, and if given the opportunity, he would attack other nations. If allowed to have nuclear missiles, he would attack other nations, try and form an alliance maybe with China, and maybe lead to a serious threat down the world, down the line to another world war that North Korea wants to play a role in. Others say, no, North Korea is impoverished. This is a man who essentially wants to be left alone and wants to be a dictator until he dies, and we should leave it at that. I don't think many people see him as that innocuous. I think most people see him as someone with illusions of grandeur, but it's just not clear where he wants those to go. And here's where I feel bad. I actually have to go because I have to do a news update at the top of the hour.
No. It's fine. I monopolized enough of your time. We've been making you listen to my stupid anecdotes about wandering through a frozen food aisle shirtless. So,
but hey, I said this now because I want to make sure you guys are hip to what's going on with Baumgarten.
No. I don't know that I am.
Gary Baumgarten, your favorite, I think.
Yes.
Do you call him a crank? I can't remember.
Well, he's a curmudgeon. He's a lovable curmudgeon.
That's it, exactly. He's leaving us. He's leaving us in 2 weeks, October 26th. Mark it down. So, I mean, The good news for you guys is he's leaving, so who knows what he's going to say.
No, we have him scheduled today. Am I allowed to discuss this with him?
You can try. You can ask. Maybe ask him off air. I'm bringing it up.
When is his last day? Is the 26th?
That's kind of his that I wanted to make sure you knew.
I am all over that. All right, Lisa, we will talk to you very soon. Thank you for the tip.
Okay, you got it.
Thank you, sister. All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard.
Now I just
don't know what to do. Well, we got Baumgarten coming up at 1 o'clock anyway. He was at CBGB's. They closed that place down. So he was there to talk about it. Well, let's spring it on him. Well, what's he going to do if he gets... who cares if he doesn't want to talk about it? He's leaving anyway. Well, what the hell is that all about? Maybe Bob Costantini. This could be his in. Look, I'm sad to see Gary go, but I mean, everybody
doesn't
steps
Bob
up.
Doesn't Bob live in Washington, D.C., though?
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't you move to New York for a gig if you had the chance?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, cover news in New York City. You can't ask for more than that. All right. Anywho, let's break here. We'll come back with the AM 970 Noon News Hour coming up later on. What is coming up later on? Ah, yes, Clyde Lewis. We'll also talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Later on, we'll attempt to wrangle your good friend Peter Carlin. Tim Riley around the corner. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.